Well, thank you. Evening, everybody. I'd like to speak tonight on something that's been on my mind for a long time. And I've thought about it, and some events that have come up in my life recently have just really brought it home. But most of us, I think we travel in circles with people who have the same beliefs and thoughts, and most of our social things actually revolve around the chapel and people from the chapel and people who are saved and know the Lord and have a testimony and all those things. But we don't rub shoulders enough with people outside of that world. And let me tell you, we're a minority. We're a small minority compared to the rest of the world out there. And they don't have a clue, a lot of them. And one of the things I like to talk about tonight, well, let me read this verse to you. This is the commandment that we're all commanded from the Lord. It's out of this particular one. It's Mark 16:15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature if they are ready to hear the message." Now, that's not what it says. What the verse says is this. It said, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Don't assume that they know or don't know anything. Now, I make assumptions all the time, and I'm sure if we all think back and are honest with ourselves, how many times have you walked away from a situation or a short conversation, and you thought, you know, I had an opportunity there, and I didn't do it. You know, why didn't I say this? You know, gee, they mentioned their aunt was sick, or their grandfather just died, or whatever it might be. And there was a window of opportunity that was gone. And I just read something recently. You can only touch the water once, and those things are gone. And assumptions. I make a lot of assumptions. When I first see somebody, I have a real bad habit. I size them right up. I could tell you all about them. I wouldn't have to say a word to them. I just have to look at them, and I know all about them. And let me tell you, I'm wrong all the time. But an assumption is something taken for granted and accepted as truth without proof. And how many times has an assumption? I might run into somebody who I think is like a CEO of a company or something, and I kind of tense up. Maybe I'm a little bit intimidated. So I think, oh, he wouldn't be interested in that. He's not interested in anything I have to say. And I'd walk away from it. But the truth is, we don't know what the other guy's doing. We don't have a clue what the other person's thinking, what the other person's going through, but we set ourselves up, or I set myself up, that I make assumptions. Now, let me get a little personal. Before I was saved in 1978, I was 34 years old. Now, get this. I was 34 years old. I'd been at church some. My uncle was superintendent at the Baptist church, and I'd show up, and I was probably the cutest thing that ever came through the doors there. The women just loved to hug me, and I got baptized when I was 5, and it was just a big deal. And my uncle was a superintendent. I'm actually named after him. His name was Dr. Arthur Epley, and anyhow, I had a little bit of a background. I'd been in church, but when I was 34 years old, if you would have asked me to explain to you the relationship between Jesus and God, I couldn't have done it because I didn't know that Jesus was actually the Son of God who came to planet Earth to die for my sins. I didn't know that. And the reason was, it wasn't something I needed to know. That was not useful information to me because it just wasn't on my radar. My friend Chuck, who we've been praying for, Chuck is still alive. He's doing pretty good as far as I know. But I went to talk to Chuck. I've known Chuck since fourth grade, fifth grade. Hung around together. Did a lot of things, a lot of first-time things. And I know Chuck pretty well. And I went to his house. I couldn't wait to see him because I thought he had, like, hours to live. And I was driving up there. I thought, Lord, just keep Chuck alive long enough until I can get there. And I got there, and Chuck's sitting in his living room. He's got his all dressed and everything, and his wife's sitting there and looked fine to me. And I said, Chuck, how you doing? He said, well, I'm doing all right. He said, doctor told me I got 2 to 3 months to live. He says, but, you know, it's been a good run. So I said, well, Chuck, I said, have you thought about dying? Have you thought about that? He said, yeah. He said, I've got that covered. I said, oh, really? I said, how do you have it covered? He said, well, I've never really done anything that bad to anybody. He said, try to be a good guy. And he says, I think I really have that covered. And I said, Chuck, I said, look, let me tell you. I said, I've read the Bible, and it says in there that your good deeds are as filthy rags in the sight of the Lord. And it doesn't matter how many good deeds we do. And he said, oh, really? I said, yeah. And I said, Jesus came to planet Earth to die for our sins. He says, I never thought too much about Jesus. Now, here's a guy brought up Catholic. You can't walk in a Catholic church without walking past 5 or 6 crucifixes. Matter of fact, he had one up on the wall in his house. But he said, I never thought much about Jesus. So anyhow, we talked about a few other things, and I was again made assumptions, and I didn't want to get him too uptight. I didn't want to wear him out with the thing. So when I came home, I had sent him some information, basic information. I sent him a copy of the Green EE track. I mean, that's as basic as you can get, but it's as easy as to understand as you can get. So I sent that to him. A few days later, I get a card in the mail, and it's from Fran, his wife. I've known Fran since she was 15 years old. I guess she's 70 today. We're all pretty much the same age. Chuck's a little older than I am. Anyhow, I get this nice note from Fran. Now, Fran was there when I was talking to Chuck, and she read the pamphlet that I had sent Chuck. And she told me, she said, I want to really thank you for coming up and talking to Chuck and telling him about Jesus. She says, that was very nice. She says, but Chuck really hadn't sinned until since you guys were hanging around together. And I looked at that, and I showed it to Susan, and I said, can you believe this? She says, thanks so much for coming up and telling us about Jesus and all. She said, but Chuck really hadn't sinned since you guys were hanging around together. And it was like, they don't get it. All right, I made some basic assumptions that, especially after she read the EE track. I mean, that's as basic as you can get. I mean, that's right there. And Chuck hadn't sinned since he was hanging around with you guys. Wow. So anyhow, that's the point I'm trying to make. The world outside of our world, they don't get it. They don't get it. And we make too many assumptions as to who we're going to talk to or what we're going to say. And it's a problem. So the problem, James 4:17, it says this. It says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. And that's what I've always thought of as the sin of omission, the sin of a missed opportunity. And it's been a real problem in my life. Matthew 13:3-9, it's the parable about the sower. And it says, the farmer went out to sow his seed, As he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop. Now, here's the problem. We can't see the soil. We don't know what the soil is. When we go up and we're talking to somebody, we don't know if they're operating off of no soil. We don't know if they're operating off of rocky soil. We don't know if there's thorns choking their life out. Or we don't know if it's good soil. We don't know. So why would we even venture to make an assumption about what kind of soil we're dealing with? One of the things that I meant to mention and probably haven't mentioned yet is that most assumptions that we make are incorrect. Some of them are right, but most of them are probably wrong. Now, here's the other thing. I'm not called to save anybody. It's not my job. My job is to go out and tell people. My job is to plant seeds. Okay? When I first met our brother Calvin here, you know, everybody at the academy, you were surrounded, Calvin. You didn't have much of a chance. But we all were part of God's plan. All right? We all sowed some seeds. And then God did the rest. This morning I was reading something. This is my little book I read every morning. I love this. This is Oswald Chambers for His Utmost. And for January 18th, which is today, towards the end of it, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but towards the end it says this. It says, "We are not sent to do battle for God, but to be used by God in His battles." And I thought, wow, I'm going to talk about that tonight, and that would be a great thing to share. And that really is. We're not out there fighting a battle. We're helping Him fight His battle. And you never know what little piece we're going to play in somebody's life. I had a lady come up to me once here at the chapel. Everybody in this room knows this person, and I've known her for a long time. And she came up to me one Sunday morning, and she said, "Tico, I want to tell you something." She says, "If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be at this chapel right now." I had no idea what she was talking about. I said, "What are you talking about?" And she told me that years ago, she had been to the chapel, and then they stopped coming, and then she came back. She thought, "I'm going to go back to the chapel." And she says, "I went in one Sunday," and she said, "nobody talked to me." And she said, "I just got my car and I went home." And she said, "I came back one more week." I said, "I'm going to give it one more week." And she said, "I came back." Now, this is a true story. She said, "I came back and went in and nobody spoke to me. And then I was coming out, going to my car, you came up to me and you started talking to me." And she said it was something about that, but she said, "I came back." That blew me away. I had no idea I had touched that person's life. No idea at all. When I worked for Lucent, I had a little cubicle on the corner. Carl came to visit me a couple times. We solved some problems in that cubicle. But anyhow, I had a cubicle, and there'd be a lot of traffic, people going to the cafeteria and doing things, and I'd be in there working. And one day, it was close to Christmas time, this lady came in. I was on the phone, and she put this thing on my desk. And she walked out and left, and I'm on the phone, so I open it up, and it was a pin that said, "Jesus is the reason for the season." And I thought, oh, wow. I mean, it's a nice pin. It wasn't one of these little cheapo pens. I mean, this was a nice pen. And I didn't see her for a day or so. And she was walking by. I don't know her name. I don't know where she worked in the building. I'd see her occasionally. So I stopped her, and I said, "Hey, I have a question for you." She said, "What?" I said, "How did you know I'd want that pen?" And she said, "I could tell. I could just tell." And talk about a humbling experience. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. So we're not called to save anybody. Just what we do in our life a lot of times can plant a seed with somebody. We all have different gifts. For example, I could never handle a funeral or a wedding or preach a sermon like Mark does. I'd never have the courage that Bruce Chamberlain has. He hands out 200 tracts in like 10 minutes at Walmart. I just don't have that in me. But we all have a gift, every one of us. And that's probably a talk for another time. But if you look at the main sanctuary on Sunday morning, all those people in there, you might see some of them, I don't know, for an hour on Sunday, and then you see them the next week. But they come and they hear the message, but they're not aware that they have gifts. It's not always, well, hey, Mark can do that. I'll call Mark. He'll take care of that. Well, Mark can't do everything. And we all have a gift. And if we don't get out and we don't get involved to do something, we'll never know what our gift was. Years ago, Larry started the bus ministry. I got teamed up with Charlie Crawford. Ace in the hole, man. I didn't have to do anything. I just had to walk up with Charlie. I was a knocker. I'd knock on the door and I'd stand out of the way, and Charlie would take care of everything. It was great. So I was with Charlie for 2 weeks. And the third week, Charlie wasn't there. So Larry put me with some younger person, which meant I was the senior guy. And I found out that morning that that's my gift. I don't have the knowledge that Charlie had, but I can knock on a door and talk to somebody cold, and I've got a gift. I'm comfortable with that. I love talking to people. Had Joe Savina at PT the other day over in High Point, and we're waiting for him to go in. The elevator door opens, and this guy and this lady gets off the elevator, and I knew this guy. I didn't know him real well, but I'd known him way back. So he came over to me and he's shaking my hand. "Man, how you doing? How you been?" And I introduced him to Joe. And he says, hey, he says, "You know how I met this guy?" And Joe says, no. He says, "I was on a plane going to Denver. And there was a guy in front of me. He said, I couldn't see his head." He was a little guy. He said, "I couldn't see his head from behind the seat." He said, "But he talked the whole time." He said, "When we got there, I was never so glad to get off a plane." And he said, the next Saturday, he was at Westover's breakfast. And he says, "I saw the same guy there." And he says, "I went up and met him." And then him and I had a little relationship for a while. But I never thought I was quite that bad. But anyhow. Well, listen, I've run out of time. Joseph didn't leave me quite enough time. But one of the other reasons, besides making assumptions, is we all have a little bit of fear in us. And it's probably a fear of rejection, a fear of being made fun of, somebody's going to think less of us, or whatever it is. And just a few verses here. Susan and I, the Sunday morning that we didn't have church because of the snow, we watched Charles Stanley. And Charles Stanley was preaching on Joshua 1:9. And part of that, it says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And then another one, For God gives us not a spirit of fearfulness or timidity, which some of the versions say, but of power and love and discipline. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Wow. Wow. And if we believe that our God is alive and well, he means that. So we shouldn't back down. We should be bold. And then finally, Hebrews 13:2, it says, do not forget to entertain strangers. For by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. When I looked at that verse a little bit further, and I researched it some, one of the things it said, we must be very careful how we treat one another. Strangers or not, we do not know what God is doing or what he is trying to accomplish. We could be a real part of that accomplishment. We don't know. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is the truth. Father, we thank you that we belong to a group of believers, like-minded believers. But Father, we're reminded that there's a world out there of different people. They know nothing of your promises and your truth. And Father, we pray tonight as we encounter these people, might we be aware, might we be ready just to plant a seed, Father. We don't have to walk them down the aisle and lead them through the sinner's prayer. We can just plant a seed, Father. We can just say a word or whatever it might be, whatever our gifts are. Help us to exercise those gifts so that we can get the word out, so that others can come to know you, so that your kingdom can grow. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for each one, and we just pray for safety as we travel back to our homes. And we just lift these things up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.